Good morning. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will anoint your servant so that whatever I preach will be in accordance to your word, pleasing to you. May your Holy Spirit also open the hearts and minds of us all, that we may not just be listeners of the word, but also doers as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's always been this unity in the church. At various times and at different churches over different issues. And the Philippian church, founded by Paul, Apostle Paul, was no exception as well. As Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 2, I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Euodia, Syntyche were both Paul's companions in the gospel ministry. They're supposed to be very godly, passionate to serve the Lord in the preaching of the gospel, very eager to build up the church and to grow the Christians in the church. And yet, they quarrel with each other. They have issues with each other. They have differences between themselves, so much so that they could not even resolve themselves as Christians, as Christian leaders. And when you read carefully, Paul did not mention any particularity of the issue. Probably, and most likely, it is not a fundamental issue about faith. Otherwise, Paul would have expounded what the issue is all about and what is the biblical point of view. So it must be an issue that can be easily resolved and should be resolved. So Paul trying to plead with them, and Paul even asks his co-workers to help them to be reconciled with one another. Dear brothers and sisters, to Paul, church unity is very important. And he exhorts the Christians to be united. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning from verse 1 to 11. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, he says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Paul is so concerned about church unity, and he describes church unity in terms of being like-minded or agree wholeheartedly. It is having the same love and being one in spirit and of one mind or purpose. And the basis of Christian unity is that we are being united with Christ through faith in Jesus Christ. And he says, if anyone have any encouragement for being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, we are to display them in this Christian community. Pastor Ying Yi has emphasized that we are the one spiritual community. Not only we are to reach out, but we are also to grow one another in the faith in the one community of Jesus Christ. And what kind of community we want the church to be? We want to be like what Paul has said in his exhortation to the Philippian church. Being united with Christ, sharing the common life with Christ, we should encourage one another. We should comfort one another. We should be tender and compassionate to one another. It is like being adopted into a family. And as an adopted son or daughter, you are supposed to blend in with the members of the family. You are supposed to live the same life with the members of the family. You are supposed to encourage one another. You are supposed to comfort one another. You are supposed to show tenderness and mercy to one another because you share the same life. We share the same life because we believe in Jesus Christ. We are united in Christ. And therefore, Paul says, if there is any comfort from being united with Christ, then we are supposed to share with one another so that we are able to live in harmony. And in our encouragement, our tone should be gentle and not domineering or dictatorial. This is something I continue to learn. Sometimes when I feel that I'm speaking the Bible truth, and therefore I have the authority to speak the word of God in my earnestness and passion, my tone can be very domineering and dictatorial, forgetting that my purpose is to encourage. My purpose is to be able to share the truth that we are united with Christ. We need to be united. And sometimes instead of helping the other person, the tone can turn the person off and defeat the purpose. So we have to be very careful how we encourage one another. And Paul says, if any comfort from his love, for the Christians to live in harmony with one another, we need to love Christ. His love will motivate and enable us to comfort one another. To comfort someone is to speak to someone in a very friendly way. It is used in John chapter 11, verse 19. It reads, many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of the brothers. The Jews comforted Martha and Mary because the brother Lazarus had just died. And when you confronted with that situation, I'm sure you know how to comfort, how you want to comfort. And in comforting, sometimes it's best to listen and not to say too many words. We have been studying the book of Job in a Bible study group. And if you know the book of Job, you know how Job lost everything, and his three friends came to comfort him for 6 days, I think. They remained quiet. And when they started to speak, they got Job very, very annoyed and upset. Better for them to keep the mouth shut, Job said. Yes, sometimes it's better to keep our mouth shut and just listen. Just listen. So you really need to know how to comfort one another. And Paul says, if any common sharing in the Spirit. The Philippians are all sharing the same Holy Spirit, and they are united to Christ by the same Spirit, and in Christ to one another through the Spirit. The sharing of the same Spirit should stop us forming factions in the church. And we should get rid of any factions within the church. And Paul goes on to say, if any tenderness and comfort and compassion that Philippians show to Paul and Paul to them, they are to show to one another as well. Don't just share with Paul because he is the pastor, but share with one another as well because they are our brothers and sisters. When tender mercy and passion is absent, we harden our heart. There's only apathy left. We need tender mercy and compassion in order not to be self-centered. Tender mercy and compassion stop us from putting down the others. They enable us to forgive one another when forgiveness is needed. Finally, Paul appeals to them, make my joy complete. He appeals to them on the basis of the personal relationship he has with the Philippian Christians. Paul is not being self-centered. He was filled with joy each time. He remembered the Philippians in his prayers. It will give him greater joy to see them making progress in the Christian lives, in the living in harmony with one another. There are things that cause disunity in the church, and Paul highlights two things. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Paul mentions two things that cause disunity in the church. First of all, selfish ambition. It has to do with caring primarily with one's own interests, benefits, welfare, and so on, without any consideration for the others. Selfish ambition basically is selfishness. Many people dislike a selfish person, and it is very challenging to live with such a person. More challenging indeed if that person happens to be a Christian, your brother and sister in Christ. How would you feel if a Christian is always the first to go to the table for the food in a potluck dinner. How would you feel if he always takes more than what he can eat without any consideration for the others? After dinner, he would not even help in the cleaning. How would you feel? Most likely, you will not like him, even though the person might be a Christian. Most likely, you don't care much about the person. Unless you were the organizer of the potluck dinner, and his selfishness has made it difficult for you, because the food that had been organized meant for everyone. He made your life a bit difficult. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1 says, "An unfriendly person pursues selfish ends." In other words, selfishness leads to unfriendliness. Selfishness leads to unfriendliness. Not only it leads to unfriendliness, it can also bring about disunity amongst the Christians. Some selfish behavior is easily identified, like the person being selfish, taking more than all that he could eat. You can tell the person is being selfish. But some are not easily identified because it is hidden in one's motive. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, he says in Philippians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17, "It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me when I'm in chains." Different people preach the gospel with different motives, Paul says. Some out of love, love for God, love for the people, because they want them to also experience the love of Christ and be saved. Some, as Paul says, out of envy, rivalry, and for selfish reasons. They were jealous of Paul, envy his position and authority as an apostle. They wanted to rival Paul and outdo him in reputation. They even wanted to stir up the trouble for Paul, who was in prison at the time. They did all this not for the sake of the gospel, nor for the church, but for the personal and selfish gain. They had no regard how it would affect the unity of the church. And you cannot tell that he did it with a selfish reason, because it's well hidden in his motives. And you cannot tell until you live or spend some time with him, working with him, and when his motive becomes more and more obvious. And Paul puts these selfish acts with other sins in the list. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and so on and so forth. And Paul even says, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So selfishness can really create disunity in the church when the person cares more about the person's own benefits rather than for the church. The second thing is vain conceit. As Paul said, do nothing out of vain conceit or empty pride. It is very interesting that in King James Version, the original Greek word has been translated as vain glory. Vain glory. In the Bible, the word glory is often related to God. It belongs to God. God is to be the one, the only one, be glorified. For example, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 11, Paul prayed for the Philippian Christians to be filled with the fruit of righteousness to the glory and praise of God. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 11, he talks about how God exalted Jesus Christ to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The person with the vain glory is one in his pride seek glory for himself. He has excessively high opinion of himself when in reality he has nothing to boast about. He has nothing to be proud about. It is empty pride. Some people like to show off their intelligence, wealth, and achievements to impress others. They look for their praise, and they easily compare themselves with others and put the others down. The Chinese has a saying, for those who know Chinese, 一山还有一山高. There will be one mountain higher than this mountain. There will be another person more intelligent than you, wealthier than you, having more achievements than you. But in the end, can anyone compare to God, the creator of all things? As the psalmist says in Psalm chapter 19, verse 1, the heavens declared the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. So when you're trying to glorify yourself, just spend some time looking the creation, the sky and the earth, things on earth and under the earth that God has created, and ask yourself, who have done this? Who can compare to him, the creator? Whatever achievements we have in knowledge and wealth, as Christian, we also remember what Solomon says in the book of Ecclesiastes In chapter 1, verse 2, he says, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher. "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Why is that? In verse 11, he says, "The people of long ago are not remembered." Are not remembered. Do you remember your great-great-great-great-grandparents? The most you can remember is your great-grandfather. Most people, hardly beyond that. The people of long ago are not remembered. Nor will there be any remembrance of people yet to come by those who come after them. So you think that you are very intelligent, you have achieved much. Yes, your sons will be proud of you, your daughters praise you. And your grandchildren may also mention about you in their classes. But what about their children? Their children's children. How many can still remember you, your wealth or your achievement? Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. So what we are trying to achieve, to pursue, is basically vain glory. You know, I used to think, what would have become of me if I joined the Anglican Church after my graduation from Moore College? Reverend Ying, what do you think will become of me? I thought I could have been a bishop today, overseeing the Chinese ministry. I could have been called Bishop Chua instead of Reverend Chua. I question my motive. Am I doing it for the gospel, to grow the church, and to glorify God? Or am I trying to glorify myself, my achievement? I'm not sure. But one thing for sure, I love this church, and I will continue to be the pastor of this church. And they have graciously extended my call for another 3 years. And by the grace of God, if my health continues to be well, I will continue to serve you and serve others faithfully. Now, how is the unity of the church can be achieved? It is through humility. The opposite of selfishness and vain glory is humility. As Paul says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others." It does not mean that you don't consider your own interests, but each of us to consider the interests of the others as well. Not just your own, but also the others as well. We are to be humble. True humility is to know one's limitation, one's weakness and strength, and trust in God always. A proud person always sees himself better than others. He thinks he is always right. His way is always the better way and insists on it. And he tends to look down on others. He even thinks he is always more humble compared to others. I'm not knowledgeable than X. I'm no better than Y. I'm not as wealthy as Z, but in humility, I'm better than XYZ. A humble person is not to look down on others, but able to consider others better than himself or herself. And Paul goes on to give us a super example, a supreme example in the person of Jesus Christ. He says, Jesus Christ is God. He's equal with God. He's in an exalted position of God. And yet, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in the human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. As a man. Not only as a man, God became man, but humbled himself to become obedient to death, even death on the cross. Even death on the cross. Not sitting on the throne as a king should, but humble himself, even becoming obedient to death, death on the cross. We are to be like Christ. Be humble like him. In humility, count others better than yourselves. And I just pray our church, the Chinese Christian Church in Milsons Point, will be known as a church united with Christ, Christians living in harmony, where we all exercise not only our privilege, but our comfort, our obligation, not only in our privilege, but also our obligation to courage and to encourage one another, to comfort one another, and to share with one another the love of Jesus Christ in tenderness and compassion, so that people will give praise and glorify to God, our Heavenly Father. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are members of this church. We belong to the one community because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And because we are united with Christ, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us not only the privilege, but also the responsibility to really love one another, to really comfort one another, to really encourage one another. We know how difficult it is, how challenging it is to maintain our unity in Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Because in our hearts of hearts, we all have this trait of selfishness and pride, seeking to glorify ourselves. We just pray that, Heavenly Father, you continue to remind us of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and to die on the cross for our sins. And as we meditate on him, help us to be more humble in the way we live, in the way we relate to one another, so that we may live in harmony with one another. To the glory and praise of your name. Amen.